You know, occasionally, it probably doesn't happen often enough, God tells me some things that He wants me to share with you, and this morning's one of them. And He said, I want you to share the things that are going to be happening in the last days. And people are always interested in the last days, because if you look at what's going on, you can see some things happening that we know are going to bring the last days into its full fruition. And, you know, the world is forcing Israel to take a stand. A lot of things happening in the world which would indicate that we're in the last days. But I wanted you to see what the Bible said about this. It's very interesting. Back in 1900, about 1906, 1907, 1908, we've talked about this Azusa Street Revival, which took place out in California. And therefore, for several years, there was a great move of God. In fact, God was so strong in this place on Azusa Street, which was really an old beat-up stable that would seat about 500 people. And people would be standing up and standing outside of this place because the power of God was in there. And it's very interesting, the reaction of the churches throughout the United States to this revival. One of two things happened. Because there was such a power of God in that Azusa Street revival, some churches said, we don't want to have anything to do with that. We want to just teach the Word of God. And so they became Word churches and all kinds of different names for them. But they said, we're just going to teach what the Bible says. And then there were other churches that said, we want that power of God. And so they emphasized the power of God and maybe not necessarily the Word of God. So you had really the churches in the United States split up into two different groups about 100 years ago. And but God said in the last days that these two things are going to come together, the Word of God and the power of God. He said that's how you'll know, that's one of the ways you're going to know that you're in the last days. So what I wanted to share this morning very simply is this. In any church or in any person or in any Christian, there has to be a coming together of the Word of God and the power of God. And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. I could play it very safe and I could teach the Word of God here and never talk about the power of God, but that's not God's will. So I'm not going to play it safe. I'm old enough, it doesn't make any difference. And so I'm just going to teach the truth as I know it to be and let it fall where it falls. But, you know, a lot of people talk about faith today, and I believe that faith is very simply knowing God and letting Him change your life. Knowing God and letting Him change your life. If there's no change, then probably you don't have God in the way that the Bible talks about. Some people have faith in their faith instead of having faith in a person. And this is so important to understand. You can have faith in your church. You can have faith in your Bible reading. You can have faith in all kinds of things. Claim to be a Christian, but not really have faith in a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I emphasize that Christianity is faith in a person, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. Now, if I decided I wanted to take a trip to Israel, I've never been there before. And if I went to Israel, I'd want to find a guide that's either from Israel or been there many times. Because that guide's going to be able to tell me where to go, what to see, and what's important in the nation of Israel. Well, let me tell you this. If you're going to go to heaven, you better find somebody that's been there to show you what to do to get there. Jesus Christ, this is the difference between Christianity and any other religion you can possibly imagine. Jesus came from heaven to the earth to show us the way to heaven, and he's the only one that knows. Are you listening to me? All the other religions are following some person or something or some event or some so-called miracle or whatever it is. But Christianity is faith in a person who has been there and knows how to go back there. And he did. And the Bible very simply says he came to the earth to show us what God is like and to be the first of many who would return back to the Father. And we're the many if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now the Bible says some other things, and that this has pertained to the last days. And how do you know it's the last days? Well, let's look in the Word of God. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, and we're going to look at several things here this morning. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. Now, Acts chapter 2, 17. And this is Peter speaking, and he said, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions." And I'm glad I'm in there. "Your old men shall dream dreams." You see. "And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above," and so on. And that's talking about at the end of the end times. But the point I wanted you to see, that God said very simply, in the end times, he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, on all people seeking him, on all people knowing him. He's going to pour his Spirit out. This is happening all over the world. But interesting enough, not as much in the United States. But it's happening all over the world. You can go to some foreign country, and I mean, people are just running to Jesus Christ and getting saved. The Spirit of God is coming up people. Children are prophesying, and all these things are happening. And God said they'd be happening in the last days. And just because we don't see as much as we like in this country doesn't mean this is not the last days, because it's happening every place else. So therefore, it should be a time that we're going to see prophetic revelation through visions, dreams, prophecies, and these will be prevalent in the last days. But now don't worry, I'm going to bring this all into perspective, but I want us to see this. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 1. John chapter 10 and verse 1. Now we're going to look at several scriptures, so I hope you have your Bible handy, because I'll put this all together as we go along. John chapter 10 and verse 1. And this says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not in the door unto the sheepfold, but climbs in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow them, for they know his voice. And a stranger they'll not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And that says very simply that if you're a sheep of God, if you're a lamb of God, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to know the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would be very concerned if I claimed to be a Christian and never heard the voice of God, because God is constantly speaking. It would make me very nervous to know that I was a Christian and never heard the voice of God. So it's important for us to be able to know which voice comes from Him. And I've talked about this before. I want you to look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm going to look at several things here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 5. And this says, now this puts the two together. I want you to see this. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Let's repeat that together. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, in as much assurance as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now this is the Apostle Paul, and he said, I brought you the gospel. He said, I brought it to you in word, and I brought it to you in the power of God. Both of those things are necessary. Both of those things are extremely important. Now we should know the voice of God. We should be in the Word of God enough, and we should be hear enough teaching and preaching that we should know the voice of God very clearly. Now, the Bible does also teach that there certainly are false prophets. There certainly are people not following God, even in the churches. We know that. It's very important, though, that we know the voice of God. I want you to look in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. You have to understand this. You don't believe everything everybody tells you. You get in the Word of God, you hear from God, and you learn what the truth is. Now, Matthew 24 and verse 24, it says, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Now, there's the Word of God, there's the power of God, but there's also the word of the enemy and the power of the enemy. We are to know the difference. Even Satan has his power, has his words, which he speaks through various people. Now let's go to Matthew 13 and verse 24. We have to see this. Matthew chapter 13, 24. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, did not we sow good seed in the field? From where come these tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, no, lest you gather up, when you take up the tares, you're going to uproot the wheat. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I say unto the reapers, gather together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them. Then gather the wheat into the barn. So the issue is, you have to know the Word of God, because there's always people, even in churches, that are sowing tares. Tares look like wheat. They taste like wheat, but they're poison, you see. Now, Satan is going to immediately try to counteract in your life when you hear truth. You're going to hear truth, you're going to hear error. Error is going to come from Satan. He's going to counterfeit everything God is doing. And God allows this for a reason, and I want you to hear this. Now, Satan's going to create confusion. If it's possible to actually deceive the very elect of God. Now, the Lord wants you to be able and learn to distinguish the real from the false, allow the real to be tested by the false in order to purify that which is true. Now, everything in life, we always have a choice. God will always give you a choice to believe the truth or to believe a lie. All the way back to the Garden of Eden, he had two trees. He didn't have just one. One tree he said eat of, and the other tree he said eat not of, and Adam and Eve had to make a choice which tree they're going to eat of. One was true and one was false. We would say one would bring them to heaven, the other would bring them to hell. And after God gave the truth, Satan so showed up and put on a great sales presentation to eat of the wrong tree. And he did so well that Eve ate of it. And then because Eve ate of it and Adam wanted to be with her, he ate of it. He made a deliberate choice to do it. She was deceived. And so you're going to get false things in life. You're going to get false things around your friends. You're going to get false things everywhere you go. But you're also going to have the truth of God. And you have to daily make decisions whether something is true or false. You can't automatically believe something because somebody so-and-so said it. Don't believe what I tell you. Get in the Word of God and find out for yourself. You're always going to have a choice. Now, here's the problem. If you don't choose for the truth, you will believe the lie. There's no in-between, no gray area. Yes, I'm a pretty good Christian, but maybe I'm not the best. There's none of that kind of stuff. You're either, you know the truth and you're following it, or you're going to believe a lie. It's just that simple. It says so in the Word of God. God allows cults on this earth. He allows Jehovah Witnesses. He allows the Mormons. He allows Islam. He allows all of this stuff. Why does he allow it to be on the earth? So that Christians will make a choice. You see. Because if you don't believe the truth, you're going to get involved in one of those things or in something. There's a terrible cult called self-centeredness. Let me say that again. There's a terrible cult out there called self-centeredness. It's a deception. It will keep you from the truth. It'll keep you from the things of God. See, I told you there's going to be deceptions and problems and all of these things. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I tell you, that is glorious. So anyway, where's it say that in the Bible? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. I want you to see that in the last days there's going to be the power of God, but there's also going to be great deception. And if you don't believe the things of God and what it says in the Word of God, and I mean the whole Word of God, not just the New Testament, but also the Old Testament, not just certain verses you like, but the whole thing. You have to look at it all. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 very simply says this, and I'm going to read it all because it's important. And now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, or as that day of the Lord is present. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all and is called God, and who is worshipped so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself to be, that he is God. Half the world believes in a God that is not a true God. Half the world believes in a false God. It's called Islam. I could never, in any sense of the world, ever understand why any women outside of Islam would ever have anything to do with Islam, because they put women down unbelievably. Women are like cattle. Now let me tell you something. They will try, you're going to see it, they've already tried it in a few places in the United States, what they call Sharia law. And that means wherever that thing, and don't ever let it happen in this country, because you're going to wear all that garb they wear, women. You're going to wear all that junk they wear over in the Middle East. So if I was a woman particularly, I'd have no sympathy whatsoever for that kind of religion. Do I hear an amen? All right. Now, you say, how can people be deceived into that stuff? It's very simply because they didn't believe the truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ liberated women, besides all the other things he did. And you would be in terrible deception to be comforting in any way to the Islamic. And I know there'll be somebody on my case, but I don't care. This is the truth, you see. And we got to wake up and smell the roses, you see. Because truth is truth, a lie is a lie, and you can't believe a little bit of a lie and have the truth. I'm sorry, you can't. Now, it says, verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, who are that is worshipped, so that as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what restrains that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity does already work. It's working now. Only he who now hinders will continue to hinder till be taken out of the way, talking about the Holy Spirit. Then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and also everybody that's with him. Talking about the Antichrist. He's just not going to get rid of the Antichrist. He's going to believe in everybody that's following. He's going to get rid of everybody that's following him, you see. So it makes a difference who you follow. It says it's already working. Verse 9, even him who's coming after the work of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Yes, he does have. Yes, there is the false, but there's also the true. If there wasn't a true, there wouldn't be any false, you see. People counterfeit because they're trying to copy the true. There's a true $100 bill, and there's false $100 bills. Just don't accept anything somebody puts in your hand. With all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they believe not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You need to underline 10. With all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And I'll tell you, you're deceived if you say you're a Christian and you don't love God and man. Are you listening? We're deceived if we think we're Christians and we don't love God and man. Because the Bible talks about love, 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 love all the time. That they do not... They haven't received the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they might believe the lie. In other words, God is not going to let people get away with this halfway stuff. If you either believe God or you're going to believe a lie. That's exactly what that verse says. That they might be judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But verse 11 is a scary verse if you don't have love in your heart. That's a scary verse. Because there's not going to be in anybody in heaven that believed the lie. None whatsoever that believed the lie. It's amazing, but it's true. Now, we talked about the fact there's false prophets. We talked about the fact, but that means that there is truth. Now, from the very beginning, God had people choose. If you don't choose, you've made a choice. Because we're born in sin, we have to make the choice to receive Christ. Or you're still in sin. If you're in sin, you will go down. If you're in Christ, you will go up. It's just that simple. The only answer to it's Christ. He's the only one that can pull you out of that downhill run and put you into that heavenly run, the path to heaven. He is the only one, you see. And just be wishy-washy about this stuff isn't going to work because you'll end up believing a lie. That's the sad part. Now, there is a reason to know the entire counsel of God. I said the whole thing. Not just the part you like over here in this little book. Here, we need to know the whole counsel of God. God has spread His word out throughout the entire Bible. It's like a puzzle that's been scattered all over the Bible, and you have to study the whole Bible to put it together. And He deliberately did that for the people that are diligently seeking Him. The casual seeker will not find the truth of God. It can't be done, you see. Now, those who did not choose what God's planting in hearts today are going to reap weeds and not fruit. That's it, you see. And He didn't put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil so they would stumble. That isn't why He put it there. But He put that tree of the knowledge of good and evil next to the tree of life. I said next to it, not miles apart. Next to it. So it would give you the opportunity to show love and honor to God by eating of the tree of life. There's always going to be that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's always going to be there. It's not miles away. It's next door. Somebody said, you know, well, I don't have to worry about the devil. He's just way off there someplace. No, he's right next to you. And you have to choose daily, constantly, the things of God. You are deceiving yourself if you think you can play around with the things of God and not be deceived. Because God, the Bible says you cannot do it. You will believe a lie eventually. You see. And if you, so it's either weeds or fruit. There could not be any true obedience unless there was a choice possible. Everybody has to make a choice. God put that choice out there. Otherwise, there couldn't be obedience to God. To be obedient to someone or somebody or something, you have to make a choice. People make a choice to be obedient. They get a job with a company and you have a boss over you and you decide whether you're going to be obedient to that boss or not. Or you're going to decide whether you think you know better. Guess how long that's going to last? You see. And so, the reason that tree was there, to put a contrast to those that follow the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to those that honor and are obedient and have the love of God. You see. So every time you have true teachers, you're always going to have somebody right next door that's not teaching the truth. You can read your Bible for an hour and get truth and turn your television on for 5 minutes and get a lie. I used to, you know, there was a guy wrote a book years ago. I think it was in the 40s, and everybody laughed at him because he said, don't watch television, don't go to the movies, and don't do this, that, and the other thing. And everybody said, you know, this is overboard. Give me a break here. We, you know, we're Christians. This isn't going to bother us. Grace and I the other day, turned on an old movie that was made back in the 30s. That was the most ungodly thing I ever watched in my life. We turned it off after about 5 minutes. That's the kind of stuff that was in the movies back in those days. That guy wasn't too dumb that wrote that book. You have to be selective about things in life. You just don't take everything that comes along. I don't care if Uncle John said it's good. What's the Word of God say? You see. Now, there's going to be false prophets in the last days. There's going to be true prophets in the last day. There's going to be those who love the truth and those that don't want to have anything to do with it. That's normal. Can be that way in a family. You can have one in the family that doesn't want to hear about God, and you got somebody else who can't get enough of God. Jesus said it was going to be that way. He didn't come to bring peace at that time. He came to separate people from the good and the bad. That's why he came. He said, there's going to be people in the families. There's going to be families disrupted because of me. So this stuff, you know, everybody just has to be one big happy group and all this kind of stuff is not true. You see. It says in the last day, as the day approaches, the closer we get to the coming of Jesus, they're going to be poured out of the Spirit of God. And it's not for entertainment, but it's for the needs of the saints, because as the days get darker, we're going to need more light. We're going to need the power of God to survive. And you know, we must have the power to interpret the Word of God correctly and then do it in our life. There are so many people just fill up notebooks and do nothing. I tell you, I got a lot of notebooks that I could throw in the garbage. It's what I'm doing for God now that counts to God. Not how many notebooks you pile up, you see. Now, we'll just take prophecy, for instance. Before we even go any further, let's go to 2 Timothy. I want to show you something really interesting here. At least I think it is. And let's see where. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I want to show you something here, and this ought to make you think. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, God didn't say His church wouldn't go through perilous times. He said we wouldn't go through the 7-year tribulation period. He didn't say it wasn't going to be some tough times before we got there. And so it says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." That's called self-centeredness. "They'll be covetous." They want something that somebody else have. "They'll be boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." You know, it's kind of out of style these days to teach your children to be thankful. Are you listening to me? Children ought to be the most thankful to their parents you could possibly imagine. And that has to be taught. You know, that has to be taught. We just think, oh, that sweet little Johnny there, he's going to be all right. I mean, somebody as pretty as he is, I mean, how can he come out wrong? Oh, my goodness. Look in verse 3. Without natural affection. You live under some eastern countries there, and if somebody doesn't like you, they'll just slice you in half, and they have no second thoughts about it at all. You know, I read, and I don't want to just get gross about things, but I just want to tell you, we live in a world without natural affection. Back in 70 AD, when the Romans were surrounding Jerusalem, this is 40 years after Christ, and they surrounded Jerusalem and starved the people inside the city. Well, on investigation, I found out that those Roman soldiers were not Roman. They were Muslim, under Roman commanders. What Rome was doing back in that day was they would get local people and put them in their army. They'd have Roman commanders, but sometimes the army wouldn't be Roman. These were Muslim. 2,000 people surrendered from the city of Jerusalem, and the Muslim soldiers proceeded to cut them into pieces, 2,000 all at once, and were singing and dancing over the pieces. Without natural affection. No concern for anybody that doesn't believe the way you do. Let me say that again. No concern for anybody that doesn't believe the way you do or I do. That's going on today in this world. Probably in this city. You see. Well, it goes on. No natural affection. Truce breakers, they just lie. They have no problem lying. Said, oh yeah, we'll do this. And they do just the opposite. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I want you to look at this in verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. From such turn away. What that says is, if somebody says, I believe in the Word of God, but I don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, turn away from them. That's what it says. I mean, we ought to read the whole Bible. That's exactly what Jesus said. You know, it was just amazing. Look in Matthew 22:29. I want to show you something here. This is really interesting. Matthew 22. Now don't worry, I'm preaching to myself. I'm not preaching to anybody out there. I'm preaching to me. I'm learning something. Okay, Matthew 22 and verse 29. Really interesting. Here, the religious leaders were questioning Jesus Christ, and they were giving him a hard time. Can you imagine? The Son of God. They were religious. And here's what Jesus said about them in 29, and I hope he doesn't say that about anybody here. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do error. In other words, you don't know what you're doing and saying. Because you don't know the Scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Those two things go together. He said, you don't know the Scriptures and you don't know the power of God. I don't know who God wanted me to teach this to today. But he said, he's looking at these religious guys from the temple. They memorize Scripture. They had notebooks full of conferences they'd been to. They heard preaching every day. And he said to them, number one, you don't know the word of God. And number two, you don't know the power of God. Those two things must be together if you're going to have a work of God in a place. Nobody gets saved without a word of God and the power of God. Are you listening? The power of God saves us. The word of God brings us to Christ. And we have a tendency to believe, okay, that's what happened for salvation. Now, okay, God, I'll take over. You got me saved. Now I'll take over. Big mistake. You'll believe a lie. It says right here, these two things go together. So don't despise either one. There are people running around supposedly on fire for God, don't know the word from anything, and make all kinds of mistakes. They don't live a holy, blessed, loving life, and then they get messed up and they can't figure this out. I had the power of God. And then you got the people over here who have the word of God and probably colder than a fish, and they got the word of God. They don't have the power and can't understand why their ministry isn't working. You got to have them both. So what I'd start praying, I'd say, God, I want the word of God and I want the power of God. I don't know about you, I pray, God, give me the whole shebang. I haven't got much time to waste here. Give me the whole thing. I want it all, whatever it is, I want it. Because a lot of people know the scriptures, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with the power of God. Don't talk to me about prophesying. Paul said he wished everybody would prophesy. That's what he said. I want everybody in the church to prophesy. So we better start learning this stuff and finding out what God's saying in His Word and finding out what church is all about, or we may find ourselves out by ourselves on some island when the rapture comes. Do I hear an amen? Aren't you glad you came today? Oh, my. All right. There's whole denominations that have the Word of God and no power. And there's some got a lot of power but not much Word. And they're falling in the ditch. So if you're going to not make mistakes in this life, you need to know the Word of God and the power of God, and they must come together in your life. Prophecy and that type of thing was never designed to take the place of Scripture. But Scripture was never designed to take the place of prophecy. For if the church is going to be mature, the church is going to come together, the church is going to be what it's going to be in this life. If the church is going to make a difference when everything is going to hell in a handbasket in the world and around us, if we're going to make a difference, we need the Word of God and the power of God and get it together. There has to be a union between those two, you see. Somebody says, well, you know what, I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I don't really care about these gifts and I don't care about what God has assigned for me on this earth. Stand before Jesus and tell Him that. If there's anything I want to do with the rest of my life is find out God's assignment for me and do it every single day. Every day. I want to do it. I want to complete it. I want to get it done. I want to put it together. Prophecy is never designed to establish doctrine. Prophecy is to encourage the church, to build up the church. It was never designed to take the place of the Word of God. You see? And there's all kinds of things. And I want to show you something very interesting. Just real quick, and I'm going to close. It's probably past time. But here's the issue. Now listen to this. You don't listen to anything else. If you studied the Old Testament, you'll find out that God told Abraham he was going to be a blessing to all the nations of the world. not just the Jews, everybody. Jesus came, and he came in Israel. He was a Jew. He came to the Jews, and for a while he just sent them out to the Jews. That's what he sent the disciples out and the apostles out and everything else. But Jesus told them, he went to Tyre and Sidon, to the Gentiles, and healed some. He went to Gentiles in other places, and he healed some. And he was trying to show them not just the Jews, the Gentiles, but when Jesus left, and the Jewish church stayed Jewish. They didn't reach out to the Gentiles like God wanted them to do. So God had to do something in power, in an unusual way, to show them what he wanted them to do. It's not against Scripture. It wasn't any of that kind of thing. Look in Acts 10 and verse 1. I want to show you what happened. Now, one of Peter's problems was he had a little pride problem. And he was one of these proud Jewish guys, even though he was a Christian. And in verse 10, I'll just tell you part of it here. There was a Gentile. He was a Roman centurion, and he had been helping the Jews, and he had built them a synagogue, and he was praying to God. He didn't know all about it, but he was trying his best to find God. And so one day, an angel showed up at his place, and he said, "I want you to go get a guy named Peter, and he'll tell you what to do." So he sent some servants out to find Peter, and he found him. Look in chapter 10 of Acts, verse 9. On the next day, as they went on their journey and they drew near to the city, these are the guys coming after Peter. Peter went up on the housetop to pray. That's where the patios were up on the housetop, flat roof, to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. He fell into a what is called a trance. That is scriptural. And what he did was he just froze in whatever position he was in. And God gave him a vision. This is daytime. It's light out. He's up there on the roof. And here's what happened. He fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a sheet knit in four corners, and let it down to the earth. He's seeing this vision while he's in this trance. And in which were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And a voice came to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for because I'm eating everything, I don't eat anything that's unclean." And the voice spoke unto him a second time, "What God has cleansed, call thou not thou common." Well, Peter was like me, and God had to do this three times. Three times while he's in a trance and has this vision, this sheet comes down out of heaven, and there's all kinds of these unclean animals that Jews were not supposed to eat. Three times. And then it goes back up. And Peter says to himself, he says, "What in the world is this all about?" Well, about that time, these three guys that came to get him was knocking at the door. And so he comes out of the trance. He talks to them. They said, told him the whole story about Cornelius, the Gentile centurion, had been seeking God and built a synagogue, and an angel appeared to him and told Peter to come. Peter said, "I don't go into the house of the Gentiles." Well, God said, "It's about time." So Peter said, "Well, you're God, whatever you say." So he went over there. And he went over to the Gentiles' house. Jews were not even to go into the house of the Gentile, not even step in the door. And so, long story short, Cornelius told him the story. Peter went in the house. He preached to them. The Holy Spirit fell on them. They got saved. They baptized them. And then he goes back and tries to explain it to the Jews. Well, the issue was, God didn't change Scripture because he had said all along the Gentiles are going to get saved. But he had to use some supernatural, different kind of power in Peter's life to open his eyes to the truth of the Scriptures so he would do what God wanted him to do. It didn't change the Scripture. The Scripture came together with the power of God and the Gentiles got saved. And the church then realized, whoa, this is not just for us. This is for the Gentiles. God had to do a supernatural, powerful act to get his attention, to thump him on the head and say, wake up and smell the roses. This is what the Word of God said. He had to do it three times. He had a hard head. Sometimes God has to speak to us more than once, you see, to get the truth. These are the days to get the truth of God and the power of God coming together so that we can preach the Word of God, heal the sick, deliver those that have been captive by the enemy. But you're only going to do that in the supernatural power of God. I guarantee you're not going to do it in yours, and I'm not going to do it in mine. It's going to be the power of God that does it. And we will be part of the end times church that brings in the last people before Jesus comes in the rapture to take the church to be with him. Do I hear an amen? Let's stand before the Lord.